Nate Taylor from ESPN.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Saw your ass on SportsCenter.
That's the first time.
Are you too big for this show?
I mean, we were wondering if you had makeup crew. We need to dab your forehead a little bit.
So I am going to have to go to the consultation with the ladies at Sephora. That's what Holly chooses. So at some point, I am going to have to start getting into foundation stuff.
Yeah, man.
But it was nice. It's great to be back. My kid loves Kona Ice, so hopefully he's not listening. But it's worth it, you know. Did you see Chris at all?
Not
Did Chris
today.
Come day?
No, okay. Not yet. We had Trent McDuffie join us on the show.
Right. I got the alert on that, so I'll be looking forward to listening.
It was funny. We asked him obviously about the contract,
yes.
Of course, and he basically said when I see these other guys get paid, it brings a smile to my face, and I want to be like, I bet it does.
Sauce Gardner has done him so much over the last week.
Am I misreading it? So, like, it's so hard because a lot of it is, like, you know, common. Protect yourself. Like, I really love my agent. I think he's the best in the business.
Yep.
I let him handle it.
Yep.
But since the beginning, I don't ever feel like, because I know the Chiefs tried to get a deal done last year. Since the beginning.
Right.
It has never felt like he's in a rush.
He is not.
Like, he's not in a hurry to, like, let's get this deal done before I head to Brazil. Like, it doesn't seem like his number's his number right now. There's not, like,
right.
I don't know.
No, I get the sense that Trent is not in a hurry. He's not in a worry about it because he's so dang talented. He's so good. And, you know, much like Trey Smith understanding his significance to the team, not just through the franchise tag, but, you know, even acknowledging today, hey, Joe Tooney's no longer here. So by those two things, I am extremely valuable. I think because he plays a premier position, because he's been a two-time All-Pro, this is with Trent McDuffie, because you traded L'Jarius Sneed upon my arrival, essentially, becoming a true star in the league in 2022, it would behoove his agent to be aggressive, to try to see if he can get something done before the plane leaves Brazil, mm-hmm. 2 days before the game, I think, or whatever it is. But, you because of the fifth-year option, that mitigates things a little bit for the team.
And you could tag him. Like, technically, you got 3 years of control if you want.
Technically, you have 3 years.
That's under the $30 million per year he'd get paid.
Right. So how about we find a way to restructure it? But if I was Trent McDuffie's agent, hey, could you wait on Patrick Surtain? I guess you could. He's technically the best corner in the league. But the guys ahead of him, the guys who were taken ahead of him in the draft, have already gotten paid.
Yeah.
So now it is time to go above them, because even though you weren't taken at the same area in the draft, you were still a first-round pick, you have been the most productive cornerback in your draft class. We have now completed 3 years. It's time to get paid. So if I was his representation, I would do everything I could to get a deal done between now and the start of the season. But if you're Trent McDuffie, I'm so talented, I could wait for Patrick Surtain's deal. And guess what? I might be just as good or very, very close to him. And when it's my turn, I'll go above his deal.
The problem is because the market just reset at like a 25% clip.
Yes.
I feel like Surtain's deal is just going to be 30.2.
Oh, my God.
So I guess if you want to make 30.3, fine, make 30.3.
Sure.
But
sure.
Like, I feel like because it went from 25 to 30,
yep.
Next year with Surtain, it's not going to go from 30 to 35.
Right.
You don't normally see that in a back-to-back year case.
Correct. And you've already broken the precedent of George getting his deal, right? So he is a part of my draft class just as long as he's, you know, Sauce Gardner and Derek Stingley Jr. At the same time, if you want to be here, and I think what George Karloftis said a little bit ago in the tent was, I want to be here. I love the locker room. I love winning. I've had mentors. I had Carlos Dunlap. I had Frank Clark. I still got Chris. You could take everything that George Karloftis said today and really apply it to Trent McDuffie. So from a salary cap standpoint, as you know, the salary cap rises, go get a deal done because you can help the Chiefs structure it out. And the sooner you get a deal, the sooner you can come back and get the next deal. The sooner you can get closer to the end of your quote-unquote extension or the 2 years left on your extension.
He's young enough.
And if you're still, if you're still productive, you're still young enough, you're not 30 yet, you can go right back and get another bite at the apple. So the way these contracts are structured out now, the way the salary cap is going to continue to balloon, I think it behooves both parties just to get it done, because you're not trading him. I saw some things about, like, well, what if you franchise tag him? Okay, that's a avenue. What if you want to trade him?
Why?
Thank you. I just shake my head, because that's the highest draft pick Brett Veach has ever made. Think about that.
But he had to trade to get it.
And you
is there an argument for that?
And you have to retain him.
And only to get that highest draft pick ever, though, he had to make a difficult trade.
Yes, yeah.
Like,
exactly.
I hate to say that, yes. But, like, they might have to at some point make a difficult trade.
Yes.
In order to get the kind of player they got in Trent McDuffie. Doesn't have to be Trent McDuffie.
Correct.
But because all that to get him.
But it better be close or something similar at another premium position. Who is that going to be? I don't know. Hard to tell. So go get a deal done. And I think the pressure's on both parties equally. Because it's been such a good run so far through these first 3 years.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. We're live in St. Joe, practice number one in the books.
Yeah.
Let's get to what we saw. It's like no pads or anything, but what we saw, the big story, as we knew heading in, was going to be, all right, well, where's Jalen Moore? Where's Josh Simmons? Josh Simmons was getting first-team rest at left tackle, Jalen Moore at right tackle, which I love to see. It's a great sign that he's even out there practicing, considering on draft night we didn't really know.
Correct.
So that's a great sign. Let me ask you this, though. Is Jalen Moore at right tackle because he's not the guy that would be getting first-team reps, or is he at right tackle because Juwan Taylor's out, so they're just going to have Jalen Moore play right tackle until Juwan Taylor's healthy? Like, if Juwan Taylor was healthy, would Josh Simmons be getting first-team reps?
Oh, Mr. Gold, you are onto it, sir. I love this question. Ladies and gentlemen, I think you're right, Alex. I think that Juwan Taylor has done the Chiefs a bit of a service because what do you mean there's competition? No. He's the more veteran guy in Jalen Moore. He's experienced. Look, this first round draft pick, he needs to just focus on this one task, right? Because
we
don't want to overload him. even though Andy Reid was like, hey, Sky Moore, learn everything. So it's amazing that you don't want to overload him, but at the same time, he is the future.
Sure.
Whether Jalen Moore wants to admit it or not, whether he wants to acknowledge it or not, we'll be fascinated to talk to him when his time is arrived for him to talk to us under the tent. But if Juwan Taylor did not have a little niggle in his knee, I think Josh Simmons might still be at left tackle.
Okay.
See, then that's, yeah.
Well, we need to see as much of you as possible. We need to see how this knee holds up, not just today, but the next day, through the soreness, through the physical contact, through the pads. We need to see you go through the whole thing. And, you know, Jalen Moore was, you know, acquired to be the starter. That doesn't have to change in training camp. But what does need to change is we need to have more faith, more, you know, confidence and Josh Simmons that his body's going to hold up, specifically, you know, that left knee. So I love this because, hey, you know, we also know that this is more than likely Juwan Taylor's last year.
Sure.
So
Jalen Moore, right tackle 2026. Maybe.
I'm just saying, you want to get an early look, you know, want to grind through some tape back in, you know, July and August of 2025 if you have to. Hey, did we see him at right tackle? You know what we did.
How convenient. When you look at it, so, like, I don't worry about Juwan Taylor's injury because from the sounds of it,
do you think he'll
serious.
Be at camp at some point?
Yes.
Okay.
Like,
yes.
In the next week to 10 days?
I was told it's a minor injury.
Okay.
He really is doing them a solid. I want to make that very clear, ladies and gentlemen. He, I guess, could be out here if it was later in the season, whatever.
Yeah, it was, but like, prep for AFC title game week.
Yeah, like, I'm basically under a contract year. You and I both know that, team, organization, player. So, like, just give me a couple weeks. Let me keep, you know, rehabbing, getting treatment on it. Like,
it's always the guys on the line that are like, oh, I have it. Oh, it hurts right when I get to St. Joe.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Just,
yeah.
It's like 98 and it flares up.
So we haven't hit the Chris Jones day. That's about a week and a half away.
I need a day off. Yeah. So if you're Juwan, you're like, when's the first preseason game? We're only going to get, what, a series, maybe two?
Yeah.
Give me a couple practices before then. I think that's probably the logical return, because at that point you will have seen, you know, Kingsley Suamati at left guard, and you will have seen Josh Simmons at left tackle for, you know, almost a month, more than a month than not. And Jalen Moore can keep, you know, keep getting involved with his teammates.
What about Fulton? That one I don't feel as good about. And
Andy didn't even want to acknowledge it yesterday.
And I started going through his track record. I'm like, oh, okay, so he misses four games a year all the time, like pretty much every year of his career. Obviously, you'd prefer it not be at the beginning. The problem is, if it's at the beginning, that's the worst part of their schedule, and they're probably going to be without Rasheed Rice.
Right.
Do you also want to not have your corner and all
Correct.
This other nonsense to go with it? Now, I don't
Correct.
Think they're any worse at corner, Nate. They're exactly the same at corner as they were last year.
If you take him
if
out.
If they're without Fulton. Maybe
right.
better if Noel Williams ends up being the goods. But
right,
like,
which will take us some time to see. Yeah. Yeah, Andy Reid doesn't want to acknowledge when Christian Fulton's coming back.
That means he don't know.
I can't
They only have like 10 days before they have to pretty much admit they're going to miss the first part of the season, right?
Is it really 10? I thought it was
maybe it's more
mid-August. I could be off.
Yeah, I'd have to go through the CBA again. Clearly, I got a 13-month at home.
Nate's got it in the back pocket. He's got
really
the whole CBA in his whole back pocket.
With Noah, you know, as I change diapers from time to time. And you know.
You're not keeping up on the CBA? Well, you know what? You're keeping up about as much as the players and J.C. Tretter. So
you know what?
They tried to make him interim for a second
I've
before
kept
he
up,
quit.
Yeah, I've kept up more than the players. And I've had a baby. Or my wife has had a baby. But look, it'd be really nice to have Fulton specifically for week one against his former team. It'd be really nice. Would you push it? I would try not to because it's a knee, and I was not told yesterday that his knee was minor.
Okay.
So
okay.
Interpret and infer that what you will. We'll see.
One final thing before we let you go. We got Nate Taylor joining us here live in St. Joe, day one of training camp in the books. You sent out a tweet I saw. We noticed it a little bit from here, our vantage point. You had a better view than we did of it when they were working in team drills. Rasheed Rice, we know ultimately probably going to miss week one with a suspension, but today he was the number one wide receiver, that's for sure.
Yeah, he has retained his spot on the depth chart. You know, it's so wild to be like Hollywood kind of went under the radar today. And we'll see how much that flips between now and the end of camp. But I was most interested in terms of, hey, this thing still, even though you're not in pads, even though it's day one, this thing, boy, it speeds up, guys. It goes real quick. This ain't mandatory minicamp anymore. So, you know, you see some guys like Josh Simmons, never done it before. He's like, all right, let me put my hand on my hips for as long as possible. You know what? Let's put this helmet up.
It's about to get worse.
Put my helmet up on my forehead, and right as I get into my stance is when I pull it back down. I took note of that today, and I said, oh, that's a rookie. For a guy
who was it last year talking about throwing up 2 years ago?
Rasheed threw up.
Oh, that was a big
two
thing.
2 years ago.
Yeah, everybody's like,
and it was amazing because they just said, get back in the bottle, you know?
Take a shot of water
and get back in there. Yeah, it was amazing. But that tells you how far he's come because even with the knee injury, he was up, he was ready, he was on the field the most out of any receiver I saw today. Had a lovely whip route on Chamari Connor, and I said, don't worry, Chamari, not many people can do that. Not many people can do that route in time, in rhythm with Patrick on day one. So, and again, you can't be physical with him. We're not in pads. It's day one. But he looked good. He looked good considering the circumstances of his own doing and the injury that, you know, he's getting further and further away from, which means you think about it less and less, which means you get back to the form that we currently saw you in before the injury.
Nate, appreciate it, man. Good to see you. Day one, we got another 10 of these.
Yeah, baby.
Woo!
Nate Taylor, you have another 10.
Yeah,
another
you got more than
16.
That.
16. Yeah. 16, kids.
Yeah. I like that we all have our numbers.
Everybody knows. We're not counting or anything, but
Our friend and buddy Pete Sweeney was like, 16 more. And I just said, I both didn't, and I needed to hear that.